Father. Oh, taste and see how precious and sweet, how good the word of Yahweh is. For it is the strength of our souls and the life of your anointing in our souls. For the Spirit cannot speak nothing but what it has heard from the Father. And the tool of the enemy to draw the minds away from meditating upon thy words, giving time to you, Father. This generation doesn't do it. This house here, Father, doesn't do it. We give it over unto every seductive spirit. Time for games, fun and play. No time for you. Concern with our physical anatomy to make it strong, admirable. No time for scripture or truth. Time to feed our lustful desires and to imagine all kinds of things to eat. Yet no time for prayer, consecration. No time for fasting and denial of flesh. For the spirit of witchcraft, we understand the strength of that, Father. Unless the hearts receive your truth by the foolishness of preaching to love it, which you have ordained, they will not be saved, Father. You gave Solomon great riches. You gave him a name renowned throughout the world. Men speak of his great accomplishments. They sought him from every corner of the globe, for his wisdom was so profound that he moved pagans, those that were curious, those that had no understanding of Yahweh. In your house, the splendor, the magnificent power of it, to let man know that you fit all things and join them together accordingly. No hammering, no cutting, no sawing, but the temple fitted. You did it, Father. It is only by your splendid knowledge and understanding can man even join himself into this body and fit, and his place is proper. Yet we don't think on those things. The mind today, the heart, 99.9% of the thoughts, the imaginations, the desires, totally steeped in carnality. The mind doesn't think of you. As the breath of the body breathes, the beat of the heart, the mind should constantly. As you said, you will keep all of those, us, in your shalom, whose mind, the heart, is given over with an appetite to know you in the fullness of your power. What we demonstrate, it is not a desire to know you. We are like the 5,000 that followed Messiah, for the fish and the loaves. Yet he said to those men, the apostles, that had seen the great feat of that Father. A few loaves of bread and a few small fish, yet you fed them all. Only Yahweh can do that. And they all were full until the fragments of the baskets were collected, and they had much left. This generation is not full. You feed them sumptuously. You give them growing season in this nation, and they're not full. You feed them with food convenient to their souls, and they're not full, because they reject your truth. David declared, "Feed me, Father, until I want no more." And David declared, "The more I eat, the more I want. Can't get enough. The more you speak, the more delicious it becomes. The more you talk, the more my heart pines at, or dig as a deer digs for that fresh scent of that water. To thirst the dying and the drying soul. For man is far removed from that, Father. And it is your house. It's not the unrighteous. You talk about your house that's filled with malice and wickedness and sin. Yet the Spirit reveals our sins to us, shows us our shortcomings. Yet man has no ability to know. For many have not your Spirit, Father. I pray in Messiah's name. The anointing for this day. Great conviction to the hearts. To know without the purging of that sin, we cannot be lifted up into your presence. For the sins of that body, the Messiah, as he bore of our sins, he knew at the conclusion of the matter that it was finished. There was nothing else he could do. There's nothing else that he can do in the physical. For he paid the price. He gave us a living witness and a resurrected hope. Without the heart hanging to understand the dynamics of that, we will continuously walk as children, needing milk, needing to be corrected, needing to understand our faults and our downfallings and our shortcomings. Help this house your way. In Messiah's wonderful name, I pray you anoint your manservant that he may speak with pure clarity to each heart, that there is no respect in your judgment. Teach man, teach woman, each child, that their hearts may know the issue that is in their heart, and they may purge themselves by your judging today. Cleanse us with thy judgment, Yahweh. Sanctify us. And not when you become wroth or angry, lest we be brought to naught. You will bring us to that. In all things we bless you, Messiah's precious name. We trust you to do all things according to your counsel. We bless you. And we thank you, Yahweh, in your sure mighty name, as the saints cried, hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. For everything that he always does, it is according to his counsel. He doesn't need the input of man, his opinion, or what he says. For he is almighty and he has created all knowledge. There is nothing that exists today that Yahweh did not form it or bring it to pass. The man has used concepts, precepts to his own total annihilation, that he has destroyed the life of Yahweh in him. There's a reverence and fear of the Father, no thoughts. And when we ask those that supposedly called to be the sons, the elect of Yahweh, When he does not take predominance in our minds and our thoughts, somewhere, something has gone astray. Something is wrong in our spirits. Our hearts are not in love with him when he is not preeminent in our thoughts, in our personal activities, our minds meditating upon him, our hearts desiring to know the fullness of his power. Then somewhere we have missed it. We are walking as religious men walk in our own self-righteousness. It's not according to the Spirit of Yahweh. It's according to our own self-righteous laws that we establish what is right, what is wrong, what I like, what I dislike, what I perceive, what I do not care for. So it's not by the laws of Yahweh, for his laws and his judgments are pure, and they're right. And the thing that it does, it brings a man into his presence, for he is the only righteous judge. No other can judge like the Father. For he created man. He created all the things that we see today. And so man cannot understand the validity of Yahweh, whom he is, without judgment. And that is one thing that we have personally, we remove from our hearts. And the reason why, because there is no endowing of the power or the Spirit of Yahweh. We need to begin to go and search the range of our hearts and to see what controls us. What is the thing that shapes your heart and moves your heart away from the love and the desire of the truth? And to search it out that you may know the intricate workings of the Father, that you may truly know his heart, his intents, his purpose for man. And we as a people, we have missed that. That's why there are not many accolades of praises. We get weary in well-doing. We don't like to exalt him because it wearies the flesh. You began to exude his name and exalt him. The flesh gets very weary. It gets tired. And the reason why? Because it despises the things of Yahweh. It despises his name, his laws. It despises giving honor unto him because the flesh loves honor. It loves accolades of praise, exaltation. It despises those things that brings it down to naught, because that is all it is. All flesh, every piece of flesh, is as the grass of the earth. And as the grass is consumed by the fire of Yahweh, so shall all flesh be consumed. When a man begins to walk in the mind and the spirit of Messiah, he does all things to please the Father. His mind is set on the things that are above and not on the earthly and sensual things of this life. He is sold out unto the Father. And his desire of all things is to receive that great promise that Yahweh has promised unto them that truly love him. You're not going to get it any other way. It's not going to come by your intellectual properties, or your ethnicity, your nationality. It is going to come by truth. And the reason we cannot move into the place whereby there is a one or an accord with the Father is because there is no pure love for truth and the Word of Yahweh. And that's why there is a constant battle in the minds and the spirits of men. We know we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And our first presupposed idea is there some being standing there, and yet there are powers of darkness, that their strength comes by their rebelliousness against the word of Yahweh. That is the strength of darkness. That is the strength of witchcraft. That is the power of witchcraft. It is rebelliousness. When a man rebels against the word of Yahweh, despite his circumstances, despite, daughter, your circumstances, when you do not do what the word of Yahweh says, then there is a spirit of witchcraft. And it takes you away from the pure things of Yahweh. And because Yahweh cannot lie, he will never suffer a witch to live. He doesn't suffer that to live. And we become consumed with that spirit. We began dying, and we find our minds dying out to the things of the Father. There is no love for those things. We are not preoccupied with Him. We are occupied with everything that is natural and carnal, and not the things that are spiritual and lawful unto Yahweh. The law is spirit. The law of Yahweh is spiritual. And you are all carnal. We are carnal. As Saul said, soul on to death. Your soul unto your flesh. And our flesh brings death. It brings death to love. It brings death to adoration unto the Father. It brings death praises unto Him. So there is no pressing desire to do those things that He commands us to do. But we have the heart, the mind of Messiah. We will do all things to please the Father. And we will know what to do because He has instructed us what things to do according to Scripture. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For there is a tremendous battle today. And there's a battle of darkness. And it is seated in the dark seat of men, the hearts of men. That they have their dark, hidden secrets in their things. And yet because of that, they rebel against Yahweh's truth. And they open the door to every kind of vile, corrupt spirit there is. And their minds are taken and given over unto the authority and the rule of these spirits, whereby they cannot do the things to please Yahweh. That's why we have continuous struggles and battles. To do those things to please the Father. He has not. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Either that is a profound truth or it is a lie based upon a fallacy and a false statement of a one that was deceived himself that we call Messiah. It's either that it is easy, and the reason we don't know it's easy because we have not learned of Him. We have learned to sin well. We have learned to defend us well, but we have not learned to defend the purity and the righteousness of the laws of Yahweh. We must do that. That is the strength of the powers of hell, that He may rob you of the word of Yahweh. Yokohana said, and I saw those under the altar that were beheaded for the word of Yahweh. When a man stands for that, then his head, his logic, his thinking, he will lose all perspectives when it comes to that. As the world say, you've lost your mind. Certainly we ought to. Because the carnal mind of ours, it brings about enmity, friction. There's a distaste for the things of Yahweh. There's a hatred for the pure things of the Father. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. There's some things that I do want to point out to us today. And I pray to Yahweh that they sink down in your souls. And they settle in your hearts today. For every issue that you possess in life, I don't care what the issue is. It is not the external things. They are the things from your own heart. I don't care what the issue is. I don't care what the issue is. If it's external, whatever thing transpires because of the issue of our own heart, and it caused a defilement in us that we even defy and defile the laws of Yahweh, that we will move away from the simplicity of His truth and begin to follow after our own fleshly and carnal intuition that is not of the Father. It is not the Spirit of Yahweh. He has not birthed that. Not from our own carnal reasoning and our own carnal laws. Let's see what the Scripture says. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:3, he said, "For although you and I, we walk after or in, we are confined in this biological body. This is the body that Yahweh has given unto us, that it is conducive unto this natural environment. Although we walk, we live in a fleshly body." He said, our battle, we do not war. Our battle is not after the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. It may seem that way. You may perceive that the battle is one that is carnal and fleshly, but it is the powers of darkness that are working to destroy the word of Yahweh from the hearts of man. He said, our battles are not carnal battles. They're not fleshly battles. Although we live in this biological body, the things that you battle constantly, they are not natural battles. Because you can lay hold onto them, you can actually feel love or kindness or truth. You really can't feel that. It has no form in a physical form. It is a spiritual manifestation of one thing. And that is the truth of Yahweh. That's what love is. It is just the spiritual or the truth of the manifestation of whom Yahweh is. You don't feel love. You can't touch it physically. You can't shape kindness. You can't shape long suffering. You don't feel those things. The sense that you can lay hands on them. So our battle is not one that is natural. Two men seeing each other in a physical confrontation, you can tell when you have defeated the man. You can see that. You know that. But in a spiritual battle, it is something totally different. There's only one thing that will withstand the powers of darkness. That's why we need the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yahweh. You need that. You need the shield of faith to withstand even all the fiery darts of the enemy. But you need to begin to use the sword of the Spirit of Almighty Yahweh. And it begins to cut within the inward parts of a man's heart and his soul. So that the enemy will not supplant that which is truth with things that are based upon false and presumptuous doctrines. We need that. There's no doubt about it. So the battle today is not one that is fleshly. Our battles against each other, it ought not to be. It is not a carnal battle. It is not a fleshly battle. It goes deep beyond that. There are some things that I do want to point out and show you why these battles and why we have these battles. We are not a people that will say that this kind of spirit is in my mind. Spirit of witchcraft. We don't believe that will overtake us. And the reason we don't believe that because we don't understand how those things come about. And how they are imparted into our minds and our spirits. We got time for everything but the word of Yahweh. We don't have time to seek out the riches of this truth. We don't take time for Him to seek out the riches of His truth that it may be revealed to the inward man that he may have strength in this hour of battle. We need that today. We need that more than anything in this hour, saints. For the enemy is coming in like a flood. And the only standard we have is the word of Yahweh. We live our lives according to His standards. And Yahweh is just going to lift up that standard. No, He's not going to lift you up. That is the standard that He is saying that I will hold in place and the onslaught of hell cannot throw it down. His standard is His truth, His righteousness, and His laws. That's the standard of Yahweh. Is that based upon fallacy?
falsehood. Messiah did not speak any falsehood. He did not speak a lie. Everything he spoke was the truth because he had heard it of his Father. And the Spirit that was in him, that is why the Spirit was poured out upon him without measure. Why? Because he could receive the fullness of that anointing. And that's what we need today. We need the fullness of his Spirit. We're full of sins and corruption. We're full of lies and deceit, but not full of the Spirit. And that's what we need. We need that today. This house, the people of Yahweh, scattered wherever they are, we need the fullness of his Spirit. That is what we need. We've got ourselves full of all kinds of things. That's why there's so many issues that flow from our hearts. Don't like that, don't appreciate that, because we have issues that are not the issues of Yahweh. The issues of Yahweh will flow from our souls, and we will do those things that please the Father. We will make sure we're clean and living right. We will make sure that our hearts are sincere and devoted unto Yahweh. We will not try to establish our own little prima donnas, our own gods, and our own little scepters of righteousness. But we will allow the spiritual laws of Yahweh to work fervently and enrich our souls. Why? Because it imparts into us the knowledge of the Father. That's what it does. And with that knowledge, we have the mind of the Father. That's what Messiah had. The words that he spoke, he had heard them of the Father. So he had that mind of the Father. He has not left us in a position that we should not be thoroughly equipped. And so we have weapons today. No, I don't want to go into that aspect. I want to reveal something to the house today. He says in verse 4, he says, for the weapons of our warfare, first of all, they are not carnal. Now we must understand carnal weapons. You got to identify carnal weapons. When I read a scripture like that, I simply do not hasten through it. I want to understand what is a carnal weapon. If our weapons are not fleshly, we must understand that there are weapons that are fleshly and they are carnal, and they will destroy the heart of man. And if Scripture does not indicate to us what those carnal weapons are, then how do we fight the battle? So we must understand that they are not, first of all, carnal weapons. They are not fleshly. They are not a weapon, or they are not weapons that oppose the things of Yahweh. A carnal weapon is a weapon that opposes the truth of Yahweh. It opposes everything that Yahweh speaks and mandates unto us. Now that's a carnal weapon. That's why the flesh, to be carnally minded, is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. When a man is carnally minded, then there is no life in him. For the words that Messiah spoke unto us, they are what? Spirit and life. And so when we are carnal minded, we don't desire the things of life to feed the mind. People that eat a certain diet that brings death to their bodies, they can't stand things that will put life in their bodies. If someone doesn't like vegetables and things like that that supplies the supplements for their bodies, they like cake and ice cream and cookies and foolish eating, then when you feed them things that are good for their bodies, they don't like that. And that's the way this natural mind is. When you feed that thing, that mind, things that are spiritual, to bring the life and the fortitude of Yahweh in it, it's to be resistant. And that's the nature of that natural mind. We simply resist those things. We don't want them. Because the words that Messiah spoke unto us, they are spirit. They're words from the Father, because the Father is spirit. And they brings the life of Yahweh in a man's soul. That's what he does. When a man has a carnal mind, he opposes all the righteous laws of Yahweh. He does not gravitate to the things of Yahweh. His mind is not given over unto the laws of the Spirit. He is carnal. He is sold unto death. He loves death. He loves things that bring death. He doesn't love the things that bring life. He doesn't want that. He wants those things that cause a separation between him and the Father, because they give that natural mind more comfort. We began to walk in the life of this truth, for the law of life in Messiah, it is that law of the Spirit of Messiah, has made us free from the law of death and sin. We're free from the power of death and sin, whereby we are separated from the knowledge of the truth. That is a profound identity of death in man today, where their minds are separated from the law of life. You only find that in truth in Scripture. It doesn't come any other way. It's not going to come by studying. It's going to come by the hearing of the word of faith, the things you've studied, whereby it induced faith in your heart to believe it. That's why he has chosen such a foolish operation to make us believe. First of all, for the weapons, they are not carnal. We know to be carnally minded is death. We know that to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So you know that carnal mind, if we walk in a carnal mind, we're not going to produce life. It's not going to bring life. It's going to bring death. It's going to bring death, first of all, in you. It will cause your heart to begin to remove away from the simplicity of truth. You have experienced that. Every one of us have experienced that. For some reason, we think that we are above Yahweh's laws or his judgment, but not any of us above that. He shows us the very purpose and intent of our heart. That's why he preaches the word to us. For it discerns the very intent and the purpose of a man's heart. He wants us to know. That's what a father does. Why? Because he wants to impart the life into us. And we may be able to bring forth fruit that is excellent. When he comes, he's going to find an abundance of fruit. He doesn't want anything skimpy. He wants an abundance. He's coming back for an abundance. He's coming back for the fullness of harvest. He's not coming back in a drought time. He's coming back in the fullness of harvest. But the harvest is going to be plentiful. And it's going to be great. It's going to be an abundance is when he is coming back. Truly, he is. And in order for us to begin to yield that kind of abundance, we must be tilled. We must, the weeds must be weeded out. All those things that are not according to his will for our lives, they must be eradicated or taken out of our lives. That he may impart the spirit of life and truth into us. And he can't do that with a natural mind or carnal mind. We can't walk in the law of liberty in a natural mind or carnal mind. The carnal mind will set aside the things of Yahweh to appease the flesh and say, this is all right for me to do that. Although the word of Yahweh says different. I don't understand it like that. Well, you need the mind of Messiah. We're not dealing with some carnal battle. This is not some carnal battle. It ought not to be for us. And we are carnal. We oppose everything he says. We oppose his laws and his commandments. That's what the carnal mind does. It opposes everything Yahweh says. So we ought to know that it is not a carnal battle because we don't oppose him. We don't reject his commands, his laws. We don't reject his correction, his reproof, and his rebuke. We don't do that. But somehow we have allowed a spirit into our hearts, and I'll show you what the spirit is, that has caused about a spirit, or brought about a spirit of witchcraft in us. It's simply rebellious. You must obey him in everything. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And we think because we keep 99%, that's all right. No, he said every word, saints. You can't keep 80% and think that's right. You got to keep 100%. And Yahweh must reveal that unto us and show us where we've fallen short. We ought to examine our lives every day. Why do you think that 99.9% of the time you can't just lie down in bed and fall asleep? Yahweh never intended for man to do that. He never intended for him to do that. He intended a period of a little relaxation and rest. And then you fall asleep, see? Why? Because he wants us to meditate and survey our lives and see what things we've done wrong that way. See what things that we have spoken that day was not according to his will. That there will be true repentance and understanding of this life. That is why you just don't fall asleep like that. I don't. I don't fall asleep like that. It has to be something that a tremendous day or two or three days where I'm just totally beat. And even before I fall asleep, there's a period of relaxation and a period of rest and a period of comfort. That's what he wants, saints. That we may our lives each day, we may survey them and say, did I say that right? Was that proper? I do that. I want to make sure I said that right to the brother, to the sister. Did I say that right? See, I do that. That's why Yahweh hasn't given us that deep slumber. He hasn't given us that deep slumber, that sleep. You don't just fall asleep like that. Say what you will. And that is the mechanism of Yahweh. That is to correct us and to judge our souls. So we don't think on Him enough to understand the simple things like that. My mind is constantly, no, I'm not boasting as I'm some spiritual man. I'm saying that I'm a weak man. That's why I can say by His strength I'm made strong. And my mind meditates on His Word. And my thought is on His Word. When I'm by myself, I love that because I can truly concentrate on His Word. And I can go to the Scriptures and find that thing that is necessary for my life. This is not some plaything, saints. This is real. This is not just because you say Yahweh or Jesus or Lord or Hallelujah. It goes beyond the depths of that. It's a reality to a man's soul that he knows Him. It's more than that. It's more than our verbiage, brothers and sisters. The yard them did, but their hearts were not upon the things of Yahweh. The hearts. It can't be that old heart, stony heart, that rock, trotten heart. He has to take out that thing and give you a heart. The only expression He can use is a heart of that is pliable. A heart that has not been shapen by man. Yahweh made man from the dust of the earth. He made him an earthly man. What He said, we need an earthly heart. He must shape that heart. And we need that in this hour. We need that. We must have that. Our weapons, first of all, they are not carnal. Why? The carnal mind is enmity. It hates Yahweh. And it is not subject unto the things of Yahweh. And it can never be subject unto the laws of Yahweh. That's why men rebel. That's why men do their own thing. Why? Because a natural mind can never be subject to the law of Yahweh. The law is spiritual. We are all, not just your neighbor, my friend. I'm talking to you. We are all carnal soul unto death. That's why there must be, as we use the phrase born again, there must be a transformation. There must be a renewing of our mind. We must be transformed. How are we transformed? By the renewing of our minds. We have to have a new mind or a renewed mind. And it brings about a transformation. It takes you from one fleshly identity to an identity in the Spirit. That you know how to talk to the Father, and the Father talks to you. Natural carnal mind is not subject unto the laws of Yahweh. And it cannot be subject unto Yahweh's law. It will not give heed to the things of Yahweh. It will not submit itself unto the laws of Yahweh. That's why we must crucify our flesh or this natural carnal mind. We cannot allow the laws of our natural minds to take precedent over the spiritual mind or the mind of truth which came through the knowledge of Messiah. We received the knowledge of Messiah, the works He did. They were of the Father and they were from the Father. They were not His works. The words that I speak, they are not my words, but they are the words of the Father. So He did not come to establish any kind of a creed or any kind of a law that pertained unto His government, but it's the government of Yahweh. And in that government, He fulfilled that and obeyed the Father, that we may have the same mind and obey the Father likewise. He had to be a man of flesh. If there's anything different, then we have no power to battle in this hour. Say what you will. I don't care what this, quote, Christendom has taught, unquote. He had to be a man like you. Had to be a man like me. He had to have the same type of opposition that we have. He had to. Because if it wasn't for that, then what good is His coming? That's why we must consider Him that endured such contradictory of sinners. Lest we get weary in our minds and we faint. They contradicted him. They say, you were not the son. They scold him. They spat upon him. Did he bleed when they beat his body? Did he cry out? That's enough. He cried out. I want to bring something to your attention. Now you say, Pastor Roberts, how do I know that I'm fighting in a carnal weapon? How do I know that my mind is carnal? I want to show you something in Scripture. The Scripture says in 1 Corinthians. Now, I want to stay in 2 Corinthians. Just hold that and turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3. This is Scripture. What are you saying, Pastor Roberts? I'm simply quoting Scripture and preaching Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. This is what Paul says. He says, for you all are still yet carnal. You're fleshly, you're corrupt. You're wicked, you're vile. You have much mischief and malice in your heart. He said, for whereas there is among you now, he did not say in the world, and so that my whereby there is any kind of envying, one's own personal strength that they use to envy one that they perceive or think has a position or an authority or place that they don't possess. He said, don't you understand that you're carnal? A wife figure that someone else's husband is better to their wives than their husband is to them. He said, don't you know that you are yet carnal? A man figure that that wife is a better wife and will fit his protocol better than his wife. He said, don't you know you're yet carnal? When there is a separation with brothers and sisters, don't you know you have a carnal mind? Don't you know that's not the mind of your wife? He said, I love to know how carnal you are. Whereby there's envy, whereby there's opposition, you're opposing your brothers and sisters. Don't you know that's not the mind of Messiah? That's not the mind of Messiah. He says, where there is envy, you have that kind of a mind and spirit. He says, none of your way. Whereby there is strife. Always contentious, debating, proving a point, always got to express something. He said, don't you know you're yet carnal? Do you not know Messiah? Every accusation, he did not repudiate it. When Michael wrestled with the body of Moshe with sharp tongue, he did not bring one railing accusation against him because he was not a carnal being. He just said that Yahweh rebuked you, Satan. What do you have to stand on? What is his truth? Because this is his servant. And precious in his sight is the death of one of his. So Yahweh has done this. But he did not bring a railing accusation against him. When we as brothers and sisters rail against each other and bring accusations, you are a carnal mind. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. I don't care what kind of love righteousness you think you possess. When husbands and wives will rail against each other and bring accusations. Don't you know in homes, I've been married 28 years, so I have some understanding of marriage. I can speak with some validity. There have been times that my wife and I had disagreements that she will bring a railing of accusation against me. I will bring one against her. Something happened how long ago? I don't know. Can I tell you the validity of it? Don't even remember that. You can sit here all pious in your hypocrisy all you want to. You began to accuse her, she began to accuse you. You're carnal. A spiritual mind would say, let's get on our knees. Let's pray to Yahweh. When Messiah began to wrestle with that onslaught of hell, he found a place in the garden to pray. Yet he had no one to pray with him, but he prayed unto the Father, and great deliverance came unto him. To the point that he was ready. Whatever you say, do, I'm ready, Father. Are we truly ready to do what he says? Are we truly to lay down our lives? Well, you can't lay down your life for a brother and sister. You're not going to lay down your own life, brother or sister. That is the epitome of love. No greater love than this, that I can lay down my life for brother, friend, or sister, or saint. You have no love. That's not the love of Yahweh. It's based on scripture. That's what it's based on. It's not based on carnal emotions and feelings. It's not. He says, whereby there's envy, there's strife, you're debating, there's contention. You're always wrangling. You always want the proof of point. You got to prove that. He said, don't you know that that is a carnal mind? And our battle is not carnal. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You don't use the carnal weapon of strife. You don't use the carnal weapon of physical confrontation. You don't use that. You don't use that. You don't use a baseball bat to break a brother or sister's knees. He said, you don't go that way. He said, that's not the way. When you do that, he said, you are yet carnal. And when you're walking that way, don't you know that there's a hatred of Yahweh? You dispel the laws of Yahweh. You say they have no power. They have no legitimacy in my life. Don't you know that that's what we do when we go that route? Yeah, he's going to show his people his sins. And the house of Israel, their iniquities. That's what he's going to do. You think you're above this? This doesn't apply to your heart today. You're wrong. You're more wicked than you think you are. He speaks only to his people. He's just going to correct them. If he brings judgment upon you, you ought to bless you always for that. That he showed us things that there are things that need to be corrected in our lives. Yeah, correct me in your judgment. Not in your anger, Father. At least you bring me to nothing. I want his correction. You're carnal. These are not my words. You say you believe the book. We'll find out how much we believe the book. He said, and division. You understand that division? He said, whereby there is sedition? Whereby you divide? Whereby this is your favorite one? That's your favorite one? Whereby you divide amongst each other? You don't want to agree with that because division is in your hearts. You don't want to identify with the truth. You don't want to say, help me Yahweh. You don't want to say, cleanse me Yahweh. You don't want to identify your sin. That's why this is a house that's full of witchcraft. It's a rebellious house and it justifies its own witchcraft. We think we are righteous, and we are headed to hell. Yahweh, one profound thing he said to Solomon. He said, I've given you much. I've granted unto you a great wisdom and a great knowledge. He said, I want to warn you just one thing, Solomon. I'm still Yahweh. I'm still the one that made you. He said, I tell you just one thing. I don't want you to do. You may fall into sin. You may do things that are not apotay unto me. He said, but there's one thing I want you not to do. He said, don't forsake me. Because if you forsake me, I will cast you away forever. If you forsake me, this is a generation that forsakes the truth of your way. Because we don't believe that that's where our strength is. That's where the door of our heart is opened by the word of Yahweh. We can see the sins of our hearts and the impurity of our minds by the word of Yahweh. And when you begin to say that and say that judgment is not for me, then you are forsaken Yahweh. He said, whereby there is division. He said, I want to ask you a question. Are you not carnal? Are you not fleshly? Are you not walking in enmity against Yahweh? And walk as blind men walk. Don't you walk like any other man? We find that amongst us. Don't you know we're just like any other man? We have no strength. We have no sword of the spirit. We have no ability to fight the powers of hell. He said, don't you know you walk just walk as men walk in drunkenness and darkness without any ability to see, without any knowledge or understanding at all. He said, don't you know you walk as men walk? And that's this generation. We walk like men. And they're fallen, their frivolity, their sins, their corruption. We do the same thing they do. It ought not to be. There ought to be a difference between the people of Yahweh and the people of the world. We ought to let our light so shine that they may honor Yahweh. They may not know Him, but they will honor Yahweh because of the excellence of our spirits. They will say, certainly there's something about that woman. There's something about that man that I don't have. And they will honor your Father, your great one, your Creator. No, they have disdain from it. Why? Because we walk like men. We're carnal. We think like men. We act like men. We lust like men. We're filled with our own sin like men. He's willing about Yahweh, His forgiveness. His love that cleanses us from all of our sins is a profound thing. No, I don't know how to explain that. You don't either. I just believe it by faith. It is of a truth. There are things that He has hidden until we see Him. And He's not going to reveal that to us until we see Him. He has revealed the secrets of this hour that we need to walk in His strength and His truth. But that He has done that for us. He did that through Messiah. He overcame every power of hell. How did He do that? How did He do it? By one thing. By the word of Yahweh. That's how He overcame. And that's why we're not overcoming, because we're not doing what the word says. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yahweh. In the authorized version it says the mouth of God. But out of the mouth of Yahweh. We must live by every word, not some of the words, but every word. He said you're yet carnal when you began to walk in this dimension. You're fleshly. There's an enmity there. There's a hatred for the things of Yahweh. There's not a love for the things of Yahweh. Man walking in strife. I want to define that for you from the lexicon. This is what it says about strife. It says strife is this. It is an indignation. It is an anger aroused in us by things that we perceive that are unjust toward us. Now that's what strife is. It is envy. It is fervent mind marked by a great intensity of feeling. When we got this great intensity of feeling to express ourselves, our right or wrong, then that's what that spirit is. We're yet carnal. Messiah didn't do that. We ought not to do that. It says, it's emulation. What is that? Well, it is an envious rivalry. That you think this one is better, that will perform better than you, and there's an envy there. That shouldn't be. I said to the brothers, we were sitting here talking one night, and I said, brothers, every piece, every part of the whole is important. I don't care how small it is, that little cog or that little gear in your transmission, it is as important as the whole makeup of the transmission, the car, and the engine. Without that, you have nothing. I say that little 39-cent seal. I don't remember the price I put on it, but a 29-cent seal. That is as important as the engine. For without that seal, you have no engine. You have no engine. One little old gear break on one of those little gears, then you have a mess. It throws a cog in the whole transmission. One little quart of oil low caused the engine to blow up. Every part of the whole is as significant as the whole. Can I ask you all a question? Will you be totally honest? Which part of you, which eye do you not want? Is that a small part of your body? Is that your eye small part? I'll show you something even smaller. Look at a tooth. Is that not a small part? Do you not want your teeth? I want mine. And yet every part of that body plays a part of the whole. Why? Because it conveys and it shows the expression of that person. Our teeth play a part. All of those things. Our eyes, our hands. They may not be the largest thing, but they're all significant. Every part is significant. And so every part of the whole has a value. He gave one five and one one, and each part was valuable as the other. Every part is valuable. Every single part is valuable. It is excitement of mind. It is envious and contentious rivalry and jealousy. Now that's what strife is. We should have that. We should esteem others more highly than ourselves. We should lift up our brothers and sisters. If old Deacon Bennett can go up there and run up and down that hill the way he does, I run up and down the hill. Those young men go out there, Brother Jane, they climb trees, you all climb the trees. Well, you ought to be able to esteem others more highly than yourself. You know, if you do that, then you operate in the spirit of the law, the spirit of truth. And when we can't do that, then we're not doing that. What a profound blessing that is to lift up one another. That's the strength of my heart, to be able to lift one another up. Yeah, I'm going to lift you up today to show you your heart above all things. Whether we like that or not, whether you appreciate me, whether you love me, it doesn't make any difference at all. I'm going to show you the thing that you have lifted up in your heart as a scepter of righteousness, and it's just not right. That's why we must take time and study the scripture, that the man of Yahweh, if you all study right, he will preach on those things, and it will bless your hearts. Because you realize he is just as foolish as you are. He believes the same thing you believe. It says in 2 Peter, dealing with this carnal mind now, this carnality. And so anytime we use those weapons, we are defeated already. We use one of strife and wrath, malice, lasciviousness, anger, bitter, and all that. You're already defeated. And that's the truth. You've already lost the battle. You've already. I was telling the brothers the other day, we played basketball. Of course, Deacon Ben and I, you have almost 90-some years there. And of course, I say to them all the time, I says, Brother Daly has the inexperienced team. But of course, when they're down like they were yesterday, 5-6 points, they realize the one that's in control and they get the ball in his hand. Give me the ball. Let me have it. And here I am cheerleading for Deacon Benny and them, and yet they still won. Say, man, no, I don't like losing. I don't mind losing, but I don't like losing. I like to win. Sure. I'm not despondent because I lose. I'm not going to create a rivalry because I lose. That's still all right by me. And yet the reason that they won, because they know who to go to every time. Now, our mistake, we don't have someone to go to every time. So when I'm out there, I put the ball in Deacon Billy's hand. I don't put it in the other one. I put it in his hand every time. Well, if I keep doing that, then I almost feel like, well, why you don't put it in my hand? They get a little despondent. That's what they do. I want the ball. And see, it will never work that way. That's why they always have what they call a point. A man on the point. In any military battle, you always must have a man on the point. You that have been in the military, you must have a point man. You must have a man in reconnaissance to go out and point out everything